This episode today is brought to you by Grinding Coffee Co. Grinding Coffee, a Black LGBTQ-owned coffee business that donates a portion of every sale to charity. Coffee is imported from around the world, and they pride themselves on great customer service for a small team. Use promo code PITLANEPARLAY for 13% off your order.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt and Shannon are with me, and joining us for the first time is Mark Urban. Mark, first off, how are you, my friend?
Very well. Thank you for asking me to come on and not prepping me at all of what we were going to do until 2 minutes ago. So, very excited.
This is how we roll. Welcome to the podcast.
This is how we do it. Preparation
is overrated. And no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, thanks for joining and thanks for having us on last week on the Twitter Spaces chat. That was a lot of fun. And as I was telling Shannon and somebody last week, that was literally the first time I've ever talked on one of those before.
Okay. So no, they're fun. Was I the somebody in that sentence?
No, I don't. Maybe. I don't remember. That was like a week ago.
Because I joined and I was like, I'm not sure what to do here. And you just requested me to speak and I didn't know what button to click. And I was also distracted. He's like, you can talk if you want. I'm like,
I describe it to people. I'm like, it's like a live podcast. And they're like, so radio. I'm like, yeah, it's like radio, basically. So, yeah, they're a lot of fun. You know, just get people on, ask questions. We've had some interesting things where apparently people actually, like, go on and find random spaces and request to speak and then just, like, start saying a bunch of offensive stuff and they think it's funny until you block them. It happened once during ours. So, like, now I'm a lot more careful with, like, if you ask to speak and, like, I see you're not following anyone or anything like that, I don't approve you. Or I'm like, DM me and what's your question? And I'll ask your question for you. And then they leave.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's interesting you say that because Mike Jokum is a certified troll.
I mean, only towards Rich Energy, but and Cody and the Bray brothers. But yeah, we had that happen on Carb Day 2020? I don't know.
Oh, is this a media call?
No, it was when I did the IndyCar Nation hangout with a bunch of IndyCar Nation fans.
Oh, that's right.
And we got some people who joined in and they're like playing music and it was incredibly offensive to the point where I called IndyCar and I was like, I don't know what happened there. Like, I was like sweating bullets. I was so nervous afterwards. But anyway, we survived. We didn't get canceled. We're still here. I'm going to turn it over to Matt for his random question, and then we'll dive into some things.
All right, I'm keeping on the food trend this week, because last week was candy corn. Mark, are you a candy corn guy?
Answer wisely.
I like candy corn. I don't hate it. I don't really have a huge opinion on candy corn, but if it's like you're at a party and it's in the dish, I'll eat some. I don't think it's bad. Like,
why would she have said that? If it's in the dish, I'll eat it.
Listen, I've heard some crazy things. That is the least of them.
I mean, she's not wrong.
Is this a PG-rated podcast?
Not really.
Not when I'm here.
You can just start dropping F-bombs if you want.
Mike just has to edit it, which makes
it fun. So.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, Hickey, go ahead.
All right, so keeping on the food theme for a potentially divisive one as well, depending on what camp you're in. Are we all creamy peanut butter people or chunky peanut butter people?
If anybody chooses chunky peanut butter, they need to be sent to the sun.
Yeah, you should be sent to prison for that. I'm not, like, smooth peanut butter all the way.
Yeah. No,
you can't spread chunky peanut butter. Well,
okay, I gotta.
It's like when you'd spend the night at your grandma's house when you were a kid, and all she'd have is chunky peanut butter, and you're like, "What the hell, grandma? Like, how do I spread this on my toast? It's destroying my toast." Like, come on.
It also destroys the top of your mouth when you try to eat it.
I just don't get it.
It's no fun if we 4-0 a topic. Because, yes, I'm also a creamy peanut butter guy.
Can you stop saying the word
creamy? I guess my next one would be, who was your all-time least favorite athlete and why?
Ooh. I have one. I don't know about all time, but kind of maybe all time in like recent memory. And that would be Tom Wilson for the Capitals. He's such a scumbag. Guy. And he's like mildly talented, which makes it even more annoying because he could still score 15, 20 goals a year, but he's such a dirty player.
Really strong dude, too. Like, really, really well built, but just a dirtbag.
Listen, I'm a Flyers fan, and Matt's a Wild fan, and we're agreeing on something, and we're not like, haha, screw you. So, like, he's that kind of guy that, like, unites hockey fans to be like, F off, man.
I'm trying to think of one. Like, I'd probably go, the one that came to the top of my head was probably Jay Cutler, the quarterback for the Bears, because, like, he just had this vibe where, like, he did not care. Like, it's like, I'm a professional athlete, and I do not care at all if I'm out of the league tomorrow. Like, I have millions of dollars, whatever. And he just kind of gave that vibe, and I just don't like that with athletes. It's like, I don't know. I just don't like that kind of vibe. And that's what came to the top of my head. I'm sure there's a bunch of racing drivers I could name, but, like, I'd rather not.
Yeah, he actually just started a podcast, and he talked about that, where he's like, if I acted super emotional, people got mad. If I didn't do anything, people got mad. So you know what? I was just like, I'm just going to be myself and be content with who I am. And if people don't like that, I guess it's the way it is. And I'm like, all right. At the time when I was a fan watching him not care after his fifth interception in the game, I was like, yeah, that's kind of annoying. But yeah, I guess I get it more now that I've grown up a little bit and understand that a little more. But he also made some terrible throws.
Well, as a Lions fan, that was great, but... Yeah. Aww. He also beat us a lot, so. Shannon, how about you?
I think recent history, I'm going to go with Eric Ebron.
Yes, also that, as a Lions fan. Also Eric Ebron. Right. I've never seen another player not care and not dive
not
and not
so much.
And get into it with fans on social. It's like, buddy, it's such a bad look.
And then like, he thinks that he's amazing. Like,
it's like you lead the league in drops, man. Like, you can't, you can't, like, I don't know if he ever actually did, but, like, it's just the amount of times in Lions games where it's like, if he had just kind of laid out a little, he'd have got that, but he never
well,
did.
Well, he played for the Colts, right? And so I'm a Colts fan, and he, did the exact same thing. He was like, I can't get there. It's cool.
You make business decisions constantly. It's like, I might get hurt if I do that. I'm not doing that. Runs out of bounds, you know, those ones, right? So there you go. You have it. I changed my mind, Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I think mine's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Oh, why didn't I say Aaron Rodgers?
As an
of course I hate Aaron Rodgers.
As an athlete, I respect the hell out of him, but he is such a dirtbag of a person.
Yeah, the whole family thing.
He's got this huge chip on it. Yeah, this family thing I just don't know enough about to make an educated opinion, but it's kind of like you were saying. It's just like a kind of a bad look just getting the limited info you get. But then it's just like he acts like the Bears have tormented his life every time he plays them because he's 20-5 against them.
Wow.
And he routinely beats the shit out of them every single year.
Yeah.
But – every time they go into a game against the Bears, he always has this like gigantic chip on his shoulder against them. And, you know, we saw the last game where he's like, I own you. I still own you. It's like, okay, well, and Lighting and I talked about this where it's like, well, your teammates have also been really good. There's definitely games where you carry the team, but there's also games where Davante Adams bails you out or Clay Matthews bails you out or insert Pro Bowler on your team bails you out. It's not just you running the show every single time you play the Bears. So I just never have liked him. I don't think there's an athlete that's had more of a negative contribution to my childhood than Aaron Rodgers and repeated. It's not a rivalry anymore, the Bears-Packers.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
a like a very...
Because a rivalry implies that one team...
Bitter statement.
It implies that one team actually like beats the other every now and then. And I'd consider 5 out of the last 25. That's not really a rivalry
anymore. Okay, but like that's not true. Because the Colts and the Patriots, we never win, but it's 100% a rivalry.
It was 100%. A rivalry when Peyton was there. I don't think it is now, is it? Because they only play each other like once every couple of years. They're not even in the same like division, right?
Yeah.
Since they used to win the division every year, they always played each other because they'd always win each other's division.
It's
I don't know how
not
it works
as
now
bad
with
now.
17 weeks. It's all weird, but.
It's
the 17th game is just you play a random AFC, like each team in the NFC North had to play a team from the AFC West based on where you were in the standings. Gotcha. So like the Bears got the Raiders because we finished third versus like the Packers got the Chiefs because they finished first.
Welcome to Pit Lane Parlay where we talk football. So.
Yeah. I was going to say for me, it's more just Packer fans that drive me insane. Like they'll be 7-1 watching the game lighting. And like complaining that like we might lose this game. And it's like, you're going to be.
David Lighting has a family.
Like, so Aaron Tielitz will text me when the Lions are playing the Bears, and he'll be like,
oh, no.
I don't know, man. I don't think, like, oh, we don't have any receivers. I'm like, you're going to smoke us. Shut up. Like, you're going to be in the NFC Championship game. Like, just stop with this I'm worried the Packers won't win thing. Like, God. But anyway, yeah, moving on.
All right. Well, now that the 10 minutes of football is done, I would not have expected that, but it was a lot of fun. So we're going to ask Mark a couple questions since Mark asked us a bunch of questions last week on Twitter Spaces, and then we'll dive into a little bit of silly season and talk about the Road to Indy test this weekend. So, Mark, in addition to everything you do, you also have a podcast. Tell us what it's about, name, how often it comes out, any of that fun jazz.
Yeah, so I'm on a podcast called Flashback to the Track, and it comes out whenever we kind of feel like getting around to making an episode. So like lately, like once a month, because we're both very busy, because my co-host is a photographer on the NASCAR circuit, so he works like 25 weekends a year, so he's very busy. But yeah, so what we do is we started out by reviewing old NASCAR races. We would just watch a NASCAR race and then talk about it. And then realized that people actually really liked it. So we could talk about all kinds of different old topics. It ended up being very similar to like the Bring Back V10s podcast. But our podcast was actually out first. But then just kind of listening to Bring Back V10s, I'm like, oh, this is kind of like what we do. Just talk about old
stuff. So they stole your idea.
Maybe. I'm not accusing the race of that, but they might have. Like, you know, like, hey, these guys are small enough that we could steal their idea. But no, like it's kind of the same.
Sounds like something a judge should decide.
It's kind of along the same lines of that, but it's fun. Like we did, I think the most recent episode, we talked about like the 2006 IndyCar finale. We did an episode on motorsport conspiracies. We did one on motorsport video games, like just kind of like different pop culture stuff. And yeah, you can find it like anywhere you get podcasts, except Apple Podcasts, because they have not approved our podcast yet. But everywhere else.
Apple, get on that. Yeah. We need to do motorsport conspiracy at some point this offseason. I know you and I talked about it months ago.
There's a couple that we came up with that I'm like, okay, those are definitely true, 1,000%. Like the more you dive into them, so.
Yeah, I could spend hours talking about those. But anyway, we'll move on. So, photographer, videographer, how'd you get started? You know, what series are you currently handling? And yeah, we'll take it from there.
Okay, so right now, my main series I shoot is the IMSA Sports Car Championship. So. I started doing that kind of full-time in 2019. Before that, I worked in professional football, which is, we talked about football for 10 minutes at the beginning of this podcast. So I worked for the Canadian Football League for a couple of years. And then I worked for one of the teams, or for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And funnily enough, the week that I started there, on that Saturday, they announced that they signed Johnny Manziel. And that was when Johnny Manziel came to the CFL the same week I started there. So that was kind of a big thing for about 6 weeks till they traded him. And then he was out of the league in less than a year. But that was interesting. And that was a trial by fire thing where I worked like a bajillion hours and hated it. And it was not for me. But I started going to races kind of just as a fan, took my camera with me. And then actually I asked IMSA's PR person at the time if I could come to the race at CTMP. I was like, well, the worst he says is no. And I was like, I'm a CFL videographer. And he had seen CFL games on ESPN2. And he was like, sure, you can come. Like, we'll get you in. Like, we do this sometimes for people for their portfolio. I was like, okay, cool. So I went and did that. I got invited back by the track PR person to shoot the NASCAR race. These are at CTMP, which is like just north of Toronto, northeast of Toronto. So I shot the NASCAR Truck Series race. And then my wife and I decided in 2019 that we were going to go to the Rolex 24 because I always wanted to go. And she's like, sure, we'll take vacation, we'll go. So I reached out again to IMSA and tried to get credentials. I talked to some teams, see if I could get in, and eventually got a credential to come and shoot. And then I started pitching to teams, and I pitched to AIM Autosport. They're actually located in Woodbridge, which is a suburb of Toronto. Sure. And I was like, hey, I'll come and I'll work for you guys for free. And they were like, okay. And they loved the work. And 6 weeks later, I quit my job, and now I'm a full-time motorsport videographer.
I love it. I will turn it over to Shannon for the next two.
Do you have a bucket list race that you want to shoot?
I have like 10 bucket list races that I want to shoot. Ooh. For sure. There's so many. I like, obviously the obvious one is Le Mans. For me as a sports car guy, like not having done Le Mans yet, like obviously, like I keep saying to my wife, I'm like, I haven't done these races yet. I'm like, not a big deal. She's like, this is your third year doing this, so calm down. So Le Mans is a big one. And then really, like, so I have this infatuation with Australian motorsport. I'm obsessed with Australian motorsport. Like, the Supercars Championship, I would argue, is the best racing championship in the world. And I would kill to shoot any one of their races. But if I'm going to fly 17 hours there, I've got to go to the Bathurst 1000. Because it's the longest race. It's the coolest racetrack in the world. And so that's definitely one I would love to do. So definitely those two are at the top. And then the Indy 500, for sure. But I've heard it's not a fun race to shoot video-wise. That's another thing you got to realize. Like I said to my wife, I'm like, oh, we should go to like the Sandown 500 Supercars race. And she's like, is that a good track to shoot though? I'm like, I need to find that out before we fly there. Because to fly all the way there and the track sucks to shoot. Like the Indy Road Course is cool. It's like the worst racetrack to shoot in all of America. So
okay, but explain why. Like why? Tell us why it sucks to shoot there.
It's flat. It has no elevation change. There's no cool curbs that the cars bounce over or anything like that, really. They don't hit the curbs very hard there. And there's just not a lot of interesting locations where you can get different types of shots. Everything, the cars are coming towards you, the cars are going away from you, or it's just a basic, like, it's just not, maybe I'm just cynical, but for me, it was just not a fun track to shoot. Like, there's not a lot you can really, it forces you to be really creative. Like, you really have to be like, okay, like, what am I going to do? And you rely more on, like, if you're making an edit, you rely more on pits and paddock stuff than on-track footage. Because the on-track stuff's just not that great. It's just not a great racetrack to shoot.
What do you do on the off-season?
Do deals off-season, for next, in quotes. Do deals for next year and sleep. So this year, our off-season is, like, literally 6 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Because we end with Petit Le Mans next weekend, and then we are back... Well, I guess it's about 2 months. We're back for the Rolex, but I'm working on deals to like maybe do the 24 hours of Dubai, which is 2 weeks before the Rolex. So like maybe I'll be doing that, and I got to deal with that. And then it's more signing deals. And I find in sports car racing, so in NASCAR, everyone's got their stuff figured out in like September. In sports cars, it's like 3 days before the Rolex 24. They're like, hey, can you like do photos for us this year? And you're like, cool, because we just signed our driver 2 days ago. So, you know, like that's kind of how it works. There's a lot more moving parts with so many different manufacturers and so many drivers. So that's basically what the off season is, and relaxing. Honestly, like it's nice working for yourself. Cause I'm like, I'm just gonna take 2 weeks off at Christmas, do nothing. But, I do some other stuff as well. Like I do corporate video as well on the side. Like I'm doing a video for a composite truck body company this week. Like I'll probably shoot the CFL's Grey Cup, which is the championship game. It's in Hamilton, which is like 40 minutes from here. I can stay at home. So they'll probably hire me to shoot that. So do some different stuff in the off season.
So I started following you because A, it seemed like you had some quality tweets, and B, it's because you kept popping up in my timeline like every other day. I'm like, who is this guy? And like people just obsessed with this guy and keep retweeting him all the time. Pretty sure like Shannon was one of them.
Probably.
So you're big on social media. You do a great job of it. What is for you kind of like the pros and cons of kind of just using Twitter to reach people and have positive things like Racing Spaces, but then kind of counteracting that with some of the negatives that we see pretty much nowadays on like a daily basis.
Twitter space, a couple weeks ago with Dalen Barr, the NASCAR photographer, he's also very active on Twitter. And I kind of asked him about that. I was like, well, what are you like, how do you balance like being yourself on social media, but then knowing that all the industry people are on Twitter and can see what you say? And his kind of thing was like, if anything that I say like offends people, then like I don't want to work for them anyway. So that's kind of the way I look at it as well. Like up until George Floyd was murdered, I never said anything political on Twitter ever. I like kept to myself, and then after that I was like, screw it, all right, let's like let's go, like I because this is messed up and I need to say stuff about this. So Yeah, and that's kind of where I was like, I'm very much myself. I've been dragged like so many times for my opinions, which is totally fine. Like that happens. And I try to be very careful about what I say and like think about what you say before you say it is really the big thing. But like most of the time, like the worst thing is like I'll get into it with people, like I'll fall for the troll thing and I'll go back and forth. And I'm like, why am I wasting my time doing this? And then I'll feel really bad about myself for like 3 days. I'll be like, why? What am I doing? And then I'll go back and just be like, okay, here's a cool picture of a supercar for fun. And then I'll feel better again. And then like, so it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a go back and forth thing. But like, yeah, I love social media. It's fantastic. And my wife used to be very concerned that I was on my phone too much. And then now she realizes that it's just like, she likes to knit and I like to make TikToks. So, right. And that's so what we do while we watch television. So, you know, and that's fine. So she's much more understands that I use it to kind of promote myself. You know, I've gotten gigs through my social media. So like, it's really important to be active. And I've learned a lot of that stuff from Jamie Price, who like is like my really good friend now. And I didn't talk to him at all the first 2 years that I like was on the circuit. I never spoke to him. We would text, like we would message each other on Instagram, never spoke to him in person. And then we finally spoke with this year. So now we hang out and he's taught me a lot about, he's so on the business side of knowing like how to market yourself, how to make money, how to have different revenue streams as photographers. So that's been a huge help as well on that side.
He was a lot of fun to talk to when we were at dinner.
And we went to his favorite restaurant. We went to Outback Steakhouse. So.
I have many questions, Jamie, but shout out, big respect because he's very good at what he does. But.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.
My wife used to work at one way back when, so yeah, I'd go there a lot, and it was all right. My second question, and this will kind of help us transition into the IndyCar episode here. So not necessarily IndyCar. You can go any route you want. But is there like a hot take that you have in the racing world that people disagree with, or any hills that you're willing to die on as far as an opinion you have about driver, track, series, anything that you're willing to die on?
I don't tweet about it much anymore because we have what we have, is that the playoff system in NASCAR is just not it.
Garbage.
It's not the right way to determine a champion. It's a slap in the face to everything that motorsports is. It's about a full Agreed. Season where it's the driver, the team, the car, everything has to work. And to have it come down the entire season to the finishing order of one race, find me another series that does that. Like, yeah, the 24 Hours of Nürburgring, but that's one race that everyone tries to win. It's not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the Bob Latford system that he designed for a full season championship makes a lot of sense. And that's, I don't understand why we don't use it. Now, I'd be down for tweaking it. Like, I think there's a lot of things you could do, like only give the top 25 finishers points or something like that. Like, I'd be cool with that. Like, supercars used to do that. Only top 15 got points. It made sense. But yeah, like determining a champion by one race is just not it. It's not it.
But also while having an entire season.
Yeah, and then still allowing all the other cars to run in that final race. Just, yeah. They're not eligible and they have to just stay out of the way the whole race. And it's clear that they cheat up the four cars that are going for the championship and give them extra horsepower. That was so prevalent last year. Like, yeah. These four cars are way faster than every other car in the field. Like, this is dumb. Like, why are we doing this? So
I still don't even understand why the rest of the teams even race. Like, and I feel like that is like
frustrating.
Financially a bad decision, because if you get wrecked, something happens, right? Like, you're not, you've got no game to be out there. You have no reason to be out there.
It's frustrating. Like, I grew up watching NASCAR. It's the first racing series I ever watched, and I loved it. At that point, it was like my be all and end all. And now I'm just like, NASCAR is like sixth or seventh on my list of racing series I watch now. It's just because of what they've done, the changes they've made. I'm just not enthralled with it anymore. It's meh. I shoot one NASCAR race a year. I'm happy with that. That's fine. So
that's enough. That's fair.
Well, on that note, we're going to start with the USF 2000 announcement. Kind of cool. Jagger Jones, Parnelli Jones' grandson, signed with USF 2000 Cape Motorsports for next year. Shannon and I got to see him run this weekend. He was super quick, so that's pretty cool. Obviously, the son of PJ Jones as well. I don't think there's really too much to add there. But I think the most interesting nugget of information that came out this week was AJ Foyt Racing potentially pairing with Kyle Kirkwood. I'm confused, but I guess if it's somewhere for Kyle to go, I guess that's okay. But I don't know. We'll start with Mark. What do you think? Is Kyle Kirkwood taking his Indy Lights Championship money to the struggling AJ Foyt Racing a good idea?
Well, I think he just needs to drive somewhere, and whether it's a good idea or not, like, it might be the only option. He's got the money, and I don't think Foyt is as bad as people think that they are. I think they did have some flashes last year. Like, Bourdais was obviously carrying the team on his back, yeah. And I think they showed they could be competitive with the right track, the right driver, and the 500 is always a toss up. But I think the shocking thing to me is that Andretti let him get away, which is just, like, I don't get it. Like, he's remarkable as a talent. Like, when I was at Petit Le Mans last year, he had never driven the Lexus RCF before, and he got in the car and he was like the fastest driver there. It was insane. I was like, okay, this kid's going to be good. And or that Vass or Sullivan don't do something with him, you know. That's interesting to me. But I don't think it's a terrible move. Like, it's going to get you seat time. I don't think people are going to, like, look at it. If he does poorly, they're gonna be like, oh, look how crap this guy is, because Pato did the Carlin thing and that wasn't good, and he still ended up where he's at now. So
I mean, I really think the reason it all comes down to money, right? Financially, that's why Andretti didn't pick up on him, because, you know, the 29 car is going to be fully funded, and now that Andretti's not going to F1 and Colton Herta's ride is not available, they don't have the money, I don't think, to just fund him without him bringing some. And it sounds like he doesn't have much to bring other than what he's getting from Indy Lights, what's that called?
Scholarship.
So, it's unfortunate because he is talented. But, like you said, it's not going to hurt you to start at a lower team and get your experience and be at the back for a while. I mean, it's character building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think... I don't think him going to Foyt's the best move for his career. Yes, it is some seat time, but, and I'm not trying to put Mateus Laist and Kyle Kirkwood in the same sentence, because obviously one was a little more talented than the other coming out of the road to Indy, but you just look at what happened to Mateus Laist. His career never got off the ground with Foyt. You look at some of the drivers that have raced for Foyt within the last 5 or so years who have struggled. A lot of talented names have gone through the doors of Foyt and haven't been able to make it work. And I don't think it's a driver issue on that side. I think it's just the team is just not up to par with, you know, some of the other teams in the paddock. So if I'm Kirkwood, even if it's just 3 races, I think he would get more out of racing 3 races for, you know, McLaren's third entry if they're still trying to get that off the ground, or if Ganassi's going to try to put him in for 3 races and then maybe work something for next year or so. Or even if Andretti had a 5th car for Grand Prix 500 and one other race. I just think going to Foyt and tanking could be more harm than good in the long run.
Sebastian Bourdais didn't tank this year, really. I mean, he did a fairly decent job with the Foyt car.
To be fair, he's also a 4-time series champion.
Also that... But it's possible
Yeah, but so what's our measuring stick for Bourdais, though? Because he was kind of midfield most places, which I guess is an improvement for Foyt.
I mean, at this point, he's no farther back than the rest of the Andretti cars.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, he was better than Hinch this last season. But that wasn't saying a whole lot.
No, it's not. But it's not saying a whole lot if you're going to go and have a shitty car. Either team has a shitty car at this point. So... Is it better to run a full season versus running only three races? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think him not going to Andretti might be end up actually being good for his career. I just don't want, you know, him to go from Andretti to Foy because it's like you said, shit to shit. So it's like, what's the point? It's kind of like a lateral move at that point.
So would you rather him go to ECR?
Well, there are other teams that aren't just the bottom of the barrel. We're naming the worst teams.
ECR won a race, and they're always in contention.
It's true.
If that's one of the
races, I'm not saying they're bottom of the barrel. I'm saying that's who we have left to assign drivers to.
It's true. And can...
Well, there's the Vassar Sullivan. I don't know what Vassar Sullivan is or is not doing. Yeah. I don't think we'll know until...
3 days before the race, Mark Urban.
Exactly, yeah. 3 days before the race, you'll find out.
Yeah, so I think there's a happy medium somewhere in there other than just, like, Carlin, Carpenter, Andretti's worst vehicle, or Foyt. I think there's got to be something else for him.
I was going strictly off of what we have left to fill, and it's not much.
Can he carry the money to next year? Does he have to use it? Like,
he can carry it. No, he does not have to use it.
So if he can't find a ride, then he can...
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive on that one because the guy, like... So Kirkwood won the... Indy Pro Championship in 2019 and didn't use that money in 2020.
But they didn't have 2020. That was for COVID. Lights didn't run 2020. Hold on, I'm going to look.
I was going to say, because is it like your money? Like, can you just take the money or like...
But I also don't know that if he uses a part of it, then you forego the rest of it. So you either run your
Can you call JK Vernet real quick?
Let me just call some Indy Lights drivers that I have in my phone and we'll see if you win. I know now Dalton, I know you didn't win the scholarship money.
Ask JK Vernet what he did with his money.
There was no scholarship year that was. When he won. Yes, 2010.
That was the first year of the road to Indy, quote unquote, but there wasn't a scholarship then? Are you sure? I think you're wrong twice in a row, if I'm being honest.
I don't think I'm wrong on that one. I'll give you the first part, but the second part...
I think they should let you carry it over, because, like, if you can't find a ride, like, then what? It's like, sorry, no money for you.
Well, I think IndyCar, like, actually... Or IndyCar, Dan Anderson... Well, maybe it's now Roger Penske's area. I think they, like... Because, you know, Spencer Pigot was, like, he didn't have anywhere to go, and all of a sudden he had to deal with Ray Hall for his three races, and then that turned into Carpenter after his trial.
I don't know. I am wrong on both parts.
You cannot carry the money over. You have to.
You
use
cannot
it.
Carry it over.
I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm definitely wrong on the second part. But in 2010, the scholarship was $500,000 and didn't include any guaranteed races. It looks like, but he was rumored to run for Coin Panther, Sarah Fisher, HVM, or Conquest.
Interesting.
The first part of my probably being wrong, I did not look up yet. I will, while we continue to look it up, I'll move on to, Shannon, I think Shannon found something.
I think it is only good for the next year, because it just says the prize guarantees a driver entry into at least three 2022 IndyCar Series races, including the Indianapolis 500. So it doesn't say that you get to pick your three races in whatever year you want to go. So it looks like you have to use them.
Well, folks, this is why I am not the only one talking on this show. Because I often am wrong.
That'd be a great headline, though. In like 2045, it's like Kyle Kirkwood decides to cash in his check.
Yeah.
2045.
What were you saying?
So, like, if Foyt's the only option, then Foyt's the only option.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't want to lose the money. I mean, you might as well get experience, if nothing else.
Well, so where are we at? Rick Ware with whoever needs to confirm Sato. Vassar Sullivan needs to confirm where they're going. Foyt. Well, I think Kellett's in one of those. So Foyt and Foyt,
ECR.
Potentially. Technically, if a Dale Coyne doesn't partner with Vassar Sullivan, they might have one. Errol McLaren has a part-time for third.
Potentially.
We still need to figure out if the 48 is full-time with Johnson or Johnson and TK, Carpenter's road course car.
Do we want to talk about what we heard over the weekend?
Oh, yes. So juicy silly season rumor is that the Carlin assets on the IndyCar side that Don Cusick looked at buying, but it didn't happen. I've heard Shannon and I heard that they were purchased by Juncos or Juncos Hollinger, whatever you want to call it. So maybe there's a second seat that's officially Juncos Hollinger. I couldn't confirm it, but I did hear it at the track this weekend.
And also, Stefan Wilson's all of his tweets are all pointing towards him running at least the 500, and then. Yeah. There was another one in there somewhere that said something about a full season.
Could you imagine how cool an Ilott Kirkwood lineup would look?
Pretty baller.
Yeah.
That'd be epic.
I dig it.
So maybe they'll have a second car.
Fingers crossed.
Like the most not undeserving in a sense, but the smallest team on the grid with an Ilott Kirkwood lineup.
How badass would that be, though, right?
We're spoiled this motorsports silly season. It's like everyone's going to have two, like, it's like, we're going to have three cars next year. IMSA's like, oh, we're going to have two cars. We're going to have two cars. And like everyone's going to have seven cars. And it's going to be it's gonna be a million cars racing in America next year. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun time. And there's every time you think, like, okay, silly season's going to calm down, there's six more things that pop up. Like, you know, David Malukas said today or yesterday, there's a 99.5% chance now that I'll be running an IndyCar next year. And at the IndyCar test yesterday, so that was Monday, the Dale Coyne guys were hanging out in pit lane as he was testing the Penske car. So if we're going to put two and two together there, that's looking pretty likely.
I don't know. You're on a rough streak this episode. I think you're going to be wrong with everything you say.
Let me say it then. I mean, I'd say it wouldn't necessarily mean anything if he hadn't already tested with them, but they had no reason to be there. So why be there if you don't have interest?
Because I do have photos of Alex Albon sitting in an IndyCar, and I think I'm the only person with those photos, and he's with Williams F1 next year. So when everyone was like, oh, he's coming to IndyCar, look, he brought his manager with him. Yeah, now he's in F1, so...
His manager was at the 8 hour. Did you see him?
Yes, he manages several drivers in that series.
Yeah, he was. I was just like, you're still sunburned.
That man really has never learned a lesson to wear sunscreen.
Never.
We never do it.
I always do.
You don't.
Always.
Mike does. He's like, oh, I got sunscreen.
Pasty white Irish guy. I don't know what you want from me.
Sunscreen. Hey, that's what we want.
Yeah, I tell Matt, I'm like, bring sunscreen. And then he's like, I didn't. And I'm like, okay, well, I have it. And he's like, no, I'm fine. And then he burns and he's like, ow. I'm like, told you.
No, so the thing is, like, Road America, like, if I burn there, then I'm like good for the rest of the summer.
That's also how skin cancer develops.
That's the big thing.
Okay, I'm not like sitting in the sun for like 9 hours in no shirt. It's like I sit in the sun for like an hour.
I mean, that's a good thing.
I'm like fire engine red, so it's not like I'm sitting in the sun just guys make me sound like monsters. They said that at my campsite too. God bless Jay. Jay's in there like tobacco and drinking Red Bull and lecturing me about skin cancer. I'm like,
Okay, that's a good, all right, I'll give
we
you
all
that
make
one.
Choices. We all make choices.
Yeah, it's like we all make choices. I'm not judging.
That's fair.
All right, that's fair.
I love Jay though. Jay's one of my favorites.
Hickey or Shannon, do you guys have anything else? I have one question to wrap it up with Mark, but otherwise we can just wrap everything up then. If not, I did butcher it a couple times over the weekend. I'm pretty sure.
Far more Shannon than a couple, but it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. To wrap it up, Petit Le Mans is next weekend, and Mark, I know you'll be there. So, what makes Road Atlanta such a great track?
So I would say it's my favorite track that I've been to shoot, and it's. I don't know. What makes it great is that it has everything. So it's got high speed. It's got slow speed. It's got undulating terrain that goes up and down. It's got really everything that you want. And that final turn, I believe turn 12, when they come down the hill onto the front straight, they're going like when you see a DPI come through there, they're going so fast. It's ridiculous. And it's just an awesome racetrack shoot. And you can shoot from pretty much anywhere you want. That's the big thing for us, like access wise. If you want to shoot on driver's left, from 1 until 7, you do have to walk. You can't drive a cart by there. It's impassable, basically. Like, you have to walk. And there's lots of spiders. That's the downside.
Ooh.
Those, like, hard pass. That are pretty big.
I'm out.
What? Come on. So, come on.
What?
Like, just yeah. Spiders. So, funny story. Last year, I walked all the way from 1 to... I wanted to go all the way to 7 to get the outside. And it was overgrown, like, all the way up to, like, the... going down like the back straightaway, and it was just all forest, and you had to just give her. And I was like, do I go all the way back? Like, do I golf cart? I was like, that's gonna take me like an hour. And I was like, I put like my tripod legs all the way out, and I just like held it up and in front of me and just pushed my way through the woods. And I was like, okay, it's fine. And I got to the other side down, and there was a spider on the bottom of my tripod, and it was 2 inches across, and I was a nice guy. I held it up against the wall under a safety car, and I was trying to get it to like walk onto the wall and leave. And I was like, please just get off, like, I don't want to kill you. And then I had to just boot it because it wouldn't get off. Great race track. It's fantastic. The two pit lanes is really cool. It's state of the art now with the brand new media center. It's really cool. Like, it's just a fun racetrack to go to. It's just a fun race, and this year is going to be it's going to be even more interesting because we're going to already have daylight savings. So it's going to be dark at 4:30. So we're going to get even more night running than we usually do because the race starts at 12:10 and ends, or 12:40 and ends at 10:40. So it's going to be a good one. It's a great way to end the season.
Yeah, I agree. I love watching it get down there at some point. But Mark, thank you for joining. It's been a blast. And we'll have to do motorsport conspiracies at some point before the next season starts up again. Guys, everybody wants to, I'll just mention it now and on social media. If everybody wants to listen to other podcasts that on the network we're part of, go to evergreenpodcast.com or stream Evergreen on the social media. And everybody have a lovely weekend of racing. Today's podcast was presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. If you're a podcaster, you can apply too immediately and get connected with advertisers that fit your audience. Go to podgo.co at podgo.co and let them know that we sent you there.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.